Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Don't cut the mold off. That's the flavour of the podcast. Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast.
I'm the mold.
Yeah, James is the mold. I'm the sweet white flesh below.
Ed Gamble is the sweet white flesh below, and James Ancaster is the mold.
Really panicked with that intro. Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast. It's a food podcast where we interview a special guest, and we specifically ask them, James,
their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink.
This is an episode, one of the legendary New York episodes.
Everyone's talking about them.
When bands have got albums they recorded in NY.
When David Bowie was in Berlin.
When Berlin, it's very similar to a Berlin Bowie album.
Yeah.
So this is one of the New York episodes, and the special guest is an American. The special guest this week is David Cross. You should know who David Cross is by now. He is a brilliant comedian, a brilliant actor. Very famous for Arrested Development, of course.
Yeah, Arrested Development. Also, Mr. Show.
Oh, it's just, a huge CV.
And for David Cross's episode, we decided that if he mentions his secret ingredient, he's getting chucked out.
Yeah, as we do with everyone.
As we do with everybody.
We were very sure about it with David.
And we decided that this week's secret ingredient is Monster Munch.
That was very much pushed to the fore by me. I hate Monster Munch.
I like Monster Munch.
Look, this threatens to be another very unpopular opinion a la Yorkshire puddings.
Yes, but just everyone make sure that you know.
Which comes up again.
That I'm the one who likes Monster Munch. Yeah. So if you are going to tweet abuse and stuff at Ed, make sure you also include, let James know he's really cool.
Yeah. Sorry about that noise, by the way. I was jangling my balls while James was talking.
Yeah, guess how much he hates Monster Munch. He was like, it's like, why don't you chow down on these?
Yeah, and then I jangle my horrible metal balls.
Horrible balls at me.
So, I hope you enjoy David Cross's episode, and fingers crossed he doesn't say Monster Munch.
Let's hope not.
This is the Off-Menu of David Cross. Welcome, David, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Welcome, David Cross, to the Dream Restaurant. An amuse-bouche?
Sure.
Cereal?
No, thank you.
Yeah, fair. I mean, you're going to keep pushing these amuse-bouches on people, and you never come up with a good one.
Bowl of cereal.
A bowl for an amuse-bouche? It should be like a tiny, like, egg cup, right? Well, hard-boiled egg cup?
No. Not today.
Aren't they tiny?
Yeah.
Okay.
But today, this big bowl of cereal.
Big bowl of cereal? All right. Well, then, even more reason to... I've got limited stomach space, and this is my dream meal, so...
Yeah, that's
I also... When I was thinking about this, I was thinking, it really is, you know, I don't know if you have this in the UK, but the idea of, you know, if you're going to be executed, a last meal.
Sure.
And so that's kind of what it is. So yeah. It would be ironic and kind of cool if I said all this stuff and then as I was exiting the building, died.
Yes. It's quite nice, isn't it? Also, though, with that in mind, because people never talk about this when they say about, you know, your last meal and you're going to be executed and all this. Mm-hmm. They never talk about what crime you've done.
Yeah.
It's always like,
so you think the food should
reflect the crime?
Reflect the crime. Well, that's interesting. I wasn't thinking that, but I like that idea.
I just think you have to remember that there's going to be a certain amount of guilt involved. And, you know, you want to know what flavor of guilt you've got accompanying this meal. That's all I'm saying.
You think some people would order and just go, I can't, and just push it, take two bites. Like, I just feel awful.
Yeah. I don't deserve this.
Yeah.
What crime, if you were to be executed, what do you think most likely would be what you end up getting caught for?
I don't think I would have said this a couple years ago, but treason.
Treason.
High crimes and misdemeanors.
Yeah. So you're probably actually going to be completely guilt-free.
Yes. No, guilt-free. Oh, I'll eat. I'll savor every morsel. Absolutely. Yeah. You know what would be interesting? A conundrum is if your last meal was yourself. If you were a cannibal, but you ate yourself.
Yes.
And then they have to keep enough of you alive to kill you.
Yeah.
And that'd be interesting.
Yeah. So, are you getting arrested because you ate yourself as well?
No. This is your last meal. So
you've already eaten someone else.
Yeah. So now I've committed treason against the United States of America. I've sold secrets to Canada and Mexico.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to be executed, but my last meal is myself.
Yeah.
They have to keep enough of me alive to, let's say, shoot me.
Yeah.
So they could legally say that they are the ones that have executed you.
Yeah. But not myself. That's not fair.
How much of yourself do you think you could eat before it was no longer there doing that they execute you?
I think mostly around, as long as you leave the esophagus, and I think we'd go both legs, both arms.
Yeah.
And then now it's getting a little tricky.
especially if they leave you to it as well. They're not helping you.
they're not helping me. Oh, my goodness. So then I'd have one arm. Let's see if I could. Oh, yeah, I could.
Yeah.
Depending on.
Yeah.
I mean, for those of you at home or in the subway, I'm trying to figure out if I could hack my arm off with my just one arm. Eh, it looks like I could do it.
Looks like you could got quite good reach there to the you could get the top.
Yeah. And assume you get like a sushi knife, something nice. Yeah. Okay.
So you do both the arms and legs. And
then
I guess you basically just.
Ears. Nose. Mm-hmm. Then it's pretty tricky.
Yeah. But that's enough for a meal, isn't it?
That's more than enough. I'd freeze some, save it for later. But you probably only have like X amount of hours.
Yeah, that probably
Your stomach is gonna expand
because
you're eating so much.
Yes.
So maybe you could dip the first third of the stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you're eating stuff you've already eaten as well. So you're kind of going in for your
it's a jambalaya of sorts. You know, it's leftovers. It's a cream of leftovers, as my mom would say. Mom, what are we having for dinner? Cream of leftovers. You know, the implication, she's putting everything in a pot and putting some broth in it and walking away.
Remember the German guy who advertised for a guy to eat online?
I do. I this is for real. I wanted to write a very a one-act play about the guy, not the advertisement, the guy who came over there. And then I had just started to research some stuff, and then I found out somebody actually wrote a one-act play. I don't know if it's one act, but they wrote a play about it, which I would love to see.
I really thought you were going to say that you knew him then. I thought that's what and this is true. I knew that guy.
This is research.
Past tense, yeah.
It's one of those news stories that, like, just everyone, no one's ever forgotten about it. It's always stuck.
I love it because there's no real victim, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, in a sense, obviously they're both fucked up psychologically. one a little bit more than the other. but I love that it was just Hey, I'm putting this out there. This is what I'd like to do. If anybody would like to be, you know, if anybody's into this, be on the receiving end of it. And then somebody answered like, yeah, I thought of, but I wouldn't mind coming over there and have a little bit of me eaten in front. And he cooked it up and he made the sausage. Yeah. Yeah, it's just the whole thing.
The guy who responded, forgive me, I don't remember all the details. Had he always had that fantasy?
I don't know.
Did he read the advert and then go, oh, hello.
Yeah. I like that idea. Yeah. He didn't know that he was into that until, like, a little bit of an epiphany.
Yeah, if he'd had the, like, journey to work, being like, oh, same old train.
Same old train. I wish just once somebody would eat me.
So we always start with still or sparkling water, David?
Oh, still. Yeah. And tap. I'll just take it out of the tap. I don't need anything fancy.
Well, tap. Is that because you prefer tap or because you're like, not still for me, because you're trying to be, come on. If you want still water,
if it's,
no judgment.
If it's shitty tap water, then no, I'll take the bottle. But I'm one of those people who thinks, and maybe it's just, I can't tell much of a difference. There are certain waters, like, I don't like Evian, but I like Volvic.
This is interesting. I've not come across this before.
Yeah.
What is this?
But tap water is 9 out of 10 times, more than, 95% of the time, it's fine. I'm happy with it.
Why do you not like
Evian?
Volvic?
I like Volvic.
So what's that? Could you tell the difference between those two?
Yeah. I think because Evian has like a oh boy, it's so subjective, but it has like kind of a soft, minerally, almost like has a texture, like a smoothness that I don't like. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other water, most other water, is just sort of refreshing.
Yeah,
and there's not a lot going on there, but it tastes clean.
Okay, so you want some clean. The main thing here.
Is this tap? What are we drinking here?
Oh, that's some tap there that you've got there.
But we're also in New York, which has the best tap water I've ever had anywhere.
Really?
Oh, for sure. That's like a known thing because also the water comes from upstate in the Catskill region. And, right out of the tap. I have a house upstate. And right out of, it's just the best water you'll ever have. You don't need to filter it, this is great.
We can get you that water for the dream meal. We can get you your own tap water from your house upstate.
That'd be great.
Excellent. Yeah, we'll get it.
Okay. Wait, do I need to give you the code?
We need
I know.
All the
I know it.
Well, you're a genie.
Yeah, I know
within
it.
This scenario.
I know the code.
Okay.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Absolutely fine.
Go and scope out what else he's got there as well.
And how are you transporting it?
Oh, just cupped hands. In my hands. I just cut my hands and just bring it.
Well, then I guess I will take a bottle.
No, I'll have like a nice, really like a portable, a water cooler on wheels kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
Great.
Really cool.
Great.
Really pristine. But also now I know that like you're very like, you can tell the difference between different types of water and you know what the best tap water is. I kind of think that, I know you've been to London. Don't get there. I can't imagine you've enjoyed London tap water.
It's not great, but it's it doesn't bother me like the water tap water in Florida is awful. Tap water in southern Jersey isn't very good. The tap water in Georgia or Atlanta isn't great. But London's I don't know. I'd say it's in
it sounds
the middle.
Like you've got a league. You've got a full league table.
Yeah, let's do a rundown of the top 10 waters.
I'm just telling you from, I travel a lot and have traveled a lot for a long time, and you just remember.
Yeah.
Would it ever put you off going to a place? Would you say, I'm not going to Florida, the tap water's awful?
Oh, I'm not going to Florida, but not just because of the tap water.
The water's awful. There's horrible things
in
that
water. The water's not good.
Look at how big the mice are.
No, Florida's
very good.
Florida's terrible.
Very good, Ed.
Thank you.
Have you been to Florida?
Yes.
Yes.
Where were it? What part?
I've been to a few places.
I went to a town Orlando. Called Universal Studios.
So you've been to Orlando?
Been to Orlando, been to Miami. Yeah.
There's no way. It would have to be like seriously good work. But I'm not going to Florida again.
Yeah.
I don't like, especially doing shows, doing stand up. It's just not worth it. At a certain point, you're like, no, thank you. I don't have to go there. They're just terrible shows.
Yeah.
Just and like all it takes is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people to ruin a show.
Yeah.
And every experience I've had in Florida, just like, fuck this. And it's a pain in the ass to get to.
Yeah.
And, like, fucking life's too short. I could do all these other fun shows that are, fuck it, I'm not going back.
Do you think it's because of the tap water?
Yeah, they're just so, they're so badly hydrated.
I think there is a definite connection.
Do they drink more booze because they just don't want any water? And then they act like bad people.
Yeah.
Oh, you think that's it?
Yeah, they must just be going to beer. Maybe.
They're
not. Water.
They're dehydrated.
Yeah.
Oh man, now I feel bad.
Yeah. They avoided all the water. They're sinking all the booze.
It was a simple solution the entire time. If you put a filtration system into Florida tap water, all of a sudden they'd be nicer. Yeah.
If you took a big vat of your tap water from your house and just sprayed it on the audience before you start the show, they'd like lap it all up like dogs, and then they'd be the dream audience.
I don't know, but if you're spraying it, it's like a mist. So how do you lap up a mist?
Oh, you could, like a hose, maybe.
Like a jet.
Yeah. And that's also good if they misbehave.
Well,
later
that hose better be connected to the tap directly, because I don't know if much you'd have to get a lot. I mean, you'd have to have a 100-gallon tank.
Yeah, that's
of
true.
My tap water.
And then you're losing money as soon as you walk on stage.
Yeah,
really,
then you're out of pocket. Yeah. And what's the point? And then probably, you're back to the original thing. Yeah, like, fuck it, I'm not going to Florida.
Yeah. Probably end up heckling anyway. You go to all that trouble.
Yeah.
And then you just still get... What do you get heckled the most?
I'd say recently it would be more of like, fuck you. Just general, fuck you. I did a show. This was pretty amazing. I did a show on the last tour in Pittsburgh. And I generally have really good shows in Pittsburgh, and I like Pittsburgh. It's pretty cool. And I was doing Trump stuff, anti-Trump stuff, whatever. And the general, like, the show was really fun, and the crowd was really fun, but I either said it or is about to say, and it's not Trump that bothers me so much as his fans, when a guy, a security guy, and he has the windbreaker jacket with security on it, and he's in front of the stage, and not that I ever asked for security, but sometimes the theater, you just, you know, it's a union thing. You got security and they're standing there. And just in the timing, so I'm doing the stuff and he goes, fuck you. He screams it. And he's right in front of the stage. It's not like from the back. He screams it. Fuck you. I quit. And he gives me he flips me the bird with both fingers, walks up the thing, and people thought it was a bit. I mean, everybody thought it was a bit. Amazing. And it would script it perfectly because I just, like, it's not Trump that bothers me so much as his fans. Fuck you! And it was a little bit of gold.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Papa Dom's or bread? Papa Dom's or bread, David? Papa Dom's or bread?
Papa Dom's or bread?
Yes.
Yeah.
Papa Noms,
yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
I'll tell you what. Can I go off the menu and have something even different?
Let's do it. We love
something that would normally be in that zone.
And I wouldn't have thought about it except you said Papa Noms, which I would always prefer. Is there chutney?
Any chutneys you want?
The hot mango, chili lime, and the onion is good. But I was thinking of the popovers, or what do you call them in England? The it's like a Yorkshire pudding. Type, you know what I'm talking about?
Like an actual Yorkshire pudding, or not?
The it's like the dough. It's kind of eggy but it's like it's popover, right? We call them popovers here, but it's like a common thing. You have them with like a roast.
Yeah, like a Yorkshire.
Oh,
pudding.
Yeah.
A Yorkshire pudding. That's
Yorkshire pudding. Yeah. So you would like some Yorkshire pudding?
I would prefer Yorkshire pudding to either Papa Dom's or Brett.
Love it. Yeah, absolutely. You can have that. Well, I'm going to allow that.
Yorkshire puddings are a controversial point on this podcast, David.
Okay, why?
I don't like Yorkshire puddings, and our listenership have really taken against me because of that.
Yeah.
I get a lot of heat on the internet for saying I don't like Yorkshire puddings because they're a British institution.
Well, I guess I'm removed from the symbolism and sentimentality of it, so sure. I just think you're... You have different taste. It's probably inferior, but I love pop butter Yorkshire puddings. I love them.
I think a little bit of butter and some
salt. Oh my gosh!
Sure,
so good.
I think if I called them popovers, I would enjoy them more.
Now I know what you're talking about because it's Yeah, it's not exactly like a Yorkshire pudding, but it's similar. I had it, because I know exactly what you mean.
Okay.
I got it at the same time. I went to Dallas, and there was like, before I had, I went to a steakhouse, and they brought these out. The time you'd have bread. And they looked like Yorkshire puddings, but yeah, you'd have like bread and butter on them, and they were amazing. They were great.
So what is the difference between a popover and a Yorkshire pudding?
You wouldn't put like salt or butter on a Yorkshire pudding. You just like have it as it is with the roast dinner or something like that. And it's roughly the same thing.
I'd say
these ones were a bit. The ones that I had in Dallas were a bit like
a little eggier, or
yeah, a bit crispier almost.
Yeah, crispy on the outside.
Yeah,
in the middle.
Whereas the Yorkshire pudding can be quite. You don't like it.
Quite dry.
Yeah, this is why he doesn't like it.
Well, I guess then I'd stick to popover and not.
Yeah,
it's very similar, but like most things American, it's slightly superior. Like slightly, just
I mean, you've really engaged yourself to the British audience there by sort of suggesting you'd have a Yorkshire pudding at this point, and then just you knew that was happening.
Yeah,
I'm gonna snatch that away from them.
Once you said, yeah, I'm with you.
Right? Yeah, you can
about
pile
half,
in.
Half our listeners just flipped you the double bird and screamed, "I quit."
Yeah, they're all working out now. That's nice. I'd forgotten about having that. That they were good. That's a very nice food.
Have you
memory.
Had the Argentinian version of that, which has Gruyere cheese? They're smaller.
Yeah. Oh,
those are great.
The bread that you bite into the bread roll, and then there's like a pocket
the best
of cheese
one
in the middle
of everything we're talking about. What's it called? It's it's got a name. They're great. That's my favorite one because it's got like Gruyere cheese, but it's not. It's really blended into it. It's not like not like a mozzarella
like
stick
a stuffed
or something
crust
like that. Yeah, it's not like that. It's just. Oh, those are the best. Yeah.
That's what you're having. That's
okay,
what,
great.
We'll give you the best.
Whatever the name is, then look it up. The Argentinian version of that thing.
Argentinian popovers. Look up that.
Put safe search on.
Yeah. I can't even begin to think what an Argentinian popover is.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't look that up on Urban Dictionary.
Look up Fogo de...
Fogo de Chao.
Fogo de Chao.
Yeah.
And then look up their menu and see if it's on there.
Is it like pan de queijo or something like that? It's like something that literally translates as cheese bread, maybe. Because I've had it at Fogo de Chao as well. Which is that Brazilian Fogo de Chao?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So maybe it's Brazilian, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, it's like because it's Brazilian barbecue is where they bring you on all the skewers.
Is this the Brazilian barbecue place that you went to? And
in Philadelphia.
You ate all the meat and then you farted all night?
Yes.
Oh, it's crazy.
He tells that story all the time.
I was in Philadelphia for one night and I basically wrote off a hotel room. It was awful. I was so happy to check out.
Okay, that's what I want. Thank you.
Yeah, the first time I had that bread.
That's the best.
Blew my mind because I didn't know there was going to be cheese in the middle. It was the best surprise I've ever had. I can't believe you've swung me round. We started off with you ordering Yorkshire puddings, and now we're having cheese bread.
Quite the dosey dough. Your starter, then. Your dream starter.
Okay, I'm going to go a little heavier than I normally would, because there's no other place for this in the menu, unfortunately. Okay. So I'm going to have poutine, which is one of my favorite things, and I'm going to have it. And you guys are in luck. I'm going to have this because it's the best poutine I've ever had consistently. There's a, not a food truck, but what do y'all call them in where the stands are, where you go to Petticoat Lane? And
like a food stand
Brick Lane,
or like a stall.
Like a food stall.
Market
stall. So that kind of, he moves around. But it's called the Poutinerie. And he's in... Brick Lane on Sundays. He's in Petticoat Lane sometimes, and where else? He's a handful of places, but I urge you to seek him out.
Oh,
amazing!
And he has a vegetarian version as well. But it's the best poutine. It's just consistently the best poutine. And his name is Paul, I believe. He's a Canadian who's in.
Oh, so it's authentic stuff.
It's authentic. Oh yeah, he does it right. He does it. I have not altered a ticket, but I've considered when I booked my ticket and when I'm coming in and jet lag and all that stuff, based on where he's going to be. I've done that a couple times where I'll get there, I'll land, I'll make sure I set my alarm so I don't sleep too much and try to get my schedule back, right, and then go to wherever he's located.
Amazing.
And get the poutine,
So is it just, poutine for our listeners who may not be well versed in it. So it's fries.
Yes.
Cheese curds.
Yep.
And like a gravy.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Bam, bam, bam.
And if you go to parts of Canada, it originated in Quebec, in Montreal, and I've had plenty of poutine there, and it's not as good as
wow.
Yeah, you go to like La Belle Provence and the places that they tell you to go. Oh, go to this place, and this guy's consistently got the best.
And you don't add anything else to it, because I know people like to like pimp their poutine.
Yeah, you can do that, but I don't. The only thing I would ever add is in Montreal, they have they're kind of famous when they're. Foods that is specific to Montreal is called viande fumée. It's a smoked meat, but yeah. It's not. It's kind of like pastrami, like our pastrami, but it's not quite the same thing. It's a little. It's just a little different.
Yeah,
and they have a couple places that are famous for it. Schwartz's, and there's a place across the street. And I would put sometimes I'd put that on. There's a place here in the city. I don't know how long y'all.
We're here for a bit. Yeah, we're here for a few days.
There's a place
yeah.
on that's quite good called Mile End, which is a section of Montreal that has really good Montreal food, and they have good poutine and they have smoked meat and all that kind of stuff.
I've been to Schwartz's in
yeah,
Montreal.
It's
absolutely
great.
Incredible.
It's one of, so good.
And I was by myself, and it's the only time you feel good eating by yourself when you can walk past a queue and. Be like, hello, I'm lonely. And they immediately have a seat for you. You sit at the bar going, I've got no friends, but I'm enjoying this food.
No, that place is
yeah,
great. And
really
that's,
good.
That's yeah, so the smoked meat, I assume you have the smoked
yeah,
meat.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So some people put that on their poutine. And like there's poutineries with 30, you know, Italian and Jamaican, you know, jerk chicken and all kinds of stuff. But yeah. I don't fuck with that. I just get straight poutine, and then if I am going to get something, I put the smoked meat on it. But if you go to Mile End, yeah.
Amazing.
Let me know.
We're going to go.
Get a recommendation for somewhere in our own city that we didn't know existed.
Yeah.
It's like we came all this way, and the magic was inside us. All, very sweet.
I've also got some recommendations at the Borough Market that'll...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
if you've had the cheese sandwich from the...
Oh, from Capucasin.
Yes.
It's so good.
It's honestly, I was considering that for my dream meal.
Oh, yeah. Because
I've gone by myself, and I'll wait and wait.
Yeah.
That's honestly one of the best. It's ridiculous
how
good it is.
I can just watch them make it as well, because it's just so much cheese.
Oh,
I close my eyes
until it's in my hand. It's so ridiculously good.
I don't know what's in the cheese blend. I guess it's like Gruyere, and it's like
they have,
Swiss cheeses, right?
Well, there's some longer, more complicated names that I'm not familiar with
yeah.
that is their dairy thing. There's one like Comte something,
yeah.
and... Oh, it's just everything. It's so simple.
Yeah.
A lot like the poutine. It's mm-hmm. simple. But every element of it is just perfect. The bread is kind of the perfect type of bread, the perfect thickness with the perfect amount of like, you know, butter crunch to it. And then the cheese and the little bit of onion,
yeah.
tiny little bit of onion there. And that's it.
And it's much
the
cheese
best,
as well.
Yeah.
If you're making that yourself at home, you get halfway through and go, I hate myself. I can't do this to myself. But if you put it in the hands of a professional, yeah. you're like, they know what they're doing. I'll eat all of this.
Yeah, that's
fine. I still cry when I eat it.
Yeah, of course. It's not a good meal if you're not crying.
It's, yeah, that place is amazing.
Yeah, that's yeah. insane. That's such a good place.
So that was the close for your main course then?
To go back, poutine is my starter.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. yeah
poutine is my starter.
That's
and
a
it's
big
from
start.
The poutinery.
From the poutinery.
I would go, if you're in London, look up the poutinery, go to his Facebook page, whatever, and find out where he is.
You're moving around.
And tell him David sent you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your main course.
Okay, my main course is barbecue. I thought about this a lot, and I went back and forth and back and forth, but it's going to be barbecue. But like a lot of barbecue, I'm going to get the barbecue plate. This is going to allow me to have sample a bunch of different stuff. Now, I'm from the South, and we have something called meat and three, but that's not fair to this idea. So I'm not going to do the meat and three, but we will get the barbecue plate, the sampler, whatever. And I'm not going to cheat and get the thing that's for 2 to 4 people. Uh-huh. This is for me. It's an individual thing. Yeah. But what this allows me to do is instead of getting a half rack or wrap rack of ribs, it gives me, you know, let's say 3 or 4.
Yeah,
just enough
and
to
then,
get
and
the taste.
But then I can get the pulled pork, make my own sandwich, let's say a quarter rack of baby back, and maybe some dry rub, a couple dry rub, St. Louis style, and let's say a homemade sausage. Let's say it's a jalapeno cheddar sausage, homemade.
And is this smoked. From a particular place? Is there a particular place you'd always go to?
I mean, if I could shoot the best barbecue I've had, I know this is no secret, certainly at this point, but Franklin's in Austin is one of the very few places, the cheese place in Borough Market is another place where I will wait 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I very rarely will I wait in line, you know.
The queues are huge at Franklin, though. They're sort of famous for the queues, right?
And you got to go early.
Yeah.
Like when you're not, it's not normal. I don't feel like having, you know, a stomach full of brisket at like 10 in the morning.
But yeah.
You got to get up, have some
You've
coffee,
do it.
And get in line.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. I've had lots of good barbecue. Here, where's my... This is my very, very first tattoo. It's a barbecue.
And it's a pig.
It's a pig serving himself to you. But if you notice...
Has he just been sentenced for treason?
Yeah.
There's a nice way to bring it around. No. But he's got a kosher stamped onto him. So he's
a kosher pig.
Yeah, it doesn't himself. Exist, but in this world it does. Yeah. Who's serving you his own barbecue ribs.
Sure.
Straight from it. Yeah.
Good on him.
But
was that available as flash on a wall, or is that something from your own mind?
Yes,
that's something from my own mind.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who tattooed that on you, and what did their face
this
do when you said what
old,
you wanted?
Well, it was an old friend in Atlanta who is a great tattoo artist that I haven't seen in decades now. But his name is Shane, and he's head to toe tattoo guy.
You could have got it done in the queue for Franklin's.
Yeah, probably would have enough time.
Yeah. Completely healed by the time you get your food.
That's something I don't think we've done properly in the UK yet. Barbecue.
No,
I've been to, as soon as Bodine's opened up, I went there. Yeah. And I was like, oh, boy, and you can watch baseball. It's like one of the very, very few places that, I mean, this is going back a ways, but I was like, oh, I can watch a baseball game at midnight. Go and have some barbecue. And they're the one thing that they do that's okay is the burnt ends.
That's the only thing I'll order.
It's hit or miss, but... everything else I've had there has not been that great.
Yeah.
Not terrible. I've had worse in the States, but not. I mean, it's nothing I would ever say to somebody like, oh, dude, you got to go to Bodine.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm not a Texas barbecue is not in my top three barbecues. I prefer North Carolina style, which is a completely different.
So what are the differences between them?
Well, Texas is beef. Yeah. And Kansas City is kind of a mix. St. Louis is famous for St. Louis ribs, and then there's like Kansas City has kind of the sweeter sauces, and then there's Memphis, which is kind of famous for dry rub, and North Carolina is, once you get to the East Coast, it's more pork. Mm-hmm. Georgia doesn't really have its own kind of, it kind of takes from North Carolina, but Georgia has. What's distinctive to Georgia is something called Brunswick stew, that is a Georgia thing. And then South Carolina is a mustard-based sauce. And, it varies. Tennessee, each region has its own thing. And I for my taste, it's North Carolina style, which is more vinegar, spicy vinegar.
Do you ever do your own barbecue?
I do, but I'm not that good at it. There's other things I can make that I'm successful at, and I have one of those big green eggs, the ceramic convection type thing, and it's very hit or miss. I have notebooks. I have notebooks, and I've altered my stuff, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it just isn't that good, and it's overcooked or it's oversmoked, and I'll go online and look at tutorials, and I'll read, I'm having trouble with this. I'm like, me too. What do I scroll down? And I would say my success ratio, and I'm going back, 15 years, is no better than 50%. Sometimes it's really good, and sometimes I just, I don't know what I did wrong. I did the thing that they told me to do.
You seem very sad about this.
Yeah.
It's really getting you down.
I like it. In post, can we put some emotional music into that whole speech David just did about the...
Can I recommend Adagio for Strings?
And it has to come in, as he says, green ceramic egg. It has to just fade in then, and then it's for the rest
perfect.
Of that. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, no matter the turnout, because it's never been terrible, it's never been inedible, but... just sometimes you're like, oh, that's great. Mm. And then sometimes it's like, that's just mediocre,
And it takes so long, right, to get it.
It takes a long time, but really it's about kind of the beginning of it and then the very end. But you don't really have to do much.
Yeah.
That's the theory with the green egg or the idea of it. And but sometimes I can't get the internal temperature to get to where I need it to be, and it takes too long, and then There's definitely, for something that looks like it could be relatively easy, it's very difficult, and it makes, going to a place like Franklin's even more like, God, this is perfect.
Mm. Do you think Franklin's ever like opened up the big thing that they put the meat in? Do you think he's ever opened,
smoker?
Yeah, the big smoker. Do you think he's ever opened that up and not turned it on and just got inside and closed it and just spent the night sleeping in there? Dreaming about barbecue and how much he loves barbecue.
Absolutely not.
You sure?
Well,
have you met Frank?
I'm not sure. I have met him, yeah.
So he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who'd do that?
No.
He does, but I think he has handlers that make sure he does.
Yeah, it doesn't climb in and
wouldn't be able to
pretend he's in his big coffin.
And have a little sleep in there. I just think but people are so passionate about barbecue who love it and who make it their life like he has that he would want to know what it's
good.
Like inside
it's
the smoker.
It's so beyond good. It really is... it's a destination thing. It's like...
really made me regret.
We're obsessed with that TV show as well.
Yeah.
Which one?
the Pitmasters. It's like a competition cooking show.
And here in the States, or
yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's, everyone's a real character in this guy. Yeah. Like, there's a guy who's really famous for his ribs.
Yeah.
And he wraps his ribs, and everyone else disagrees with him, but he always wins the competition.
What kind of ribs? Is it pork or beef?
Pork.
Yeah. And is he doing baby backs or St. Louis or what?
I think they're baby backs.
Yep.
But
that's my favorite.
So far, you're in this guy's corner completely.
Yeah. Oh, I'm there. Yeah.
I just really like it as well because it's like a proper. They treat it like a sport, but none of them look like they could do any sports. Like they're all.
It's like I've watched dart tournaments over.
Exactly. Yeah.
That thing. I wish there was the equivalent of that here, or just some goofy, dumb thing that requires very little physical effort where you can just get hammered and then you have these fan bases that are also equally, you know, pretty much match the a lot of people who watch American football don't look like football players. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who watch American basketball don't look like basketball players. But the darts fans look like the darts players. They're all like.
There was a very famous darts player called Andy Fordham, who was like world champion, and he was known as the Viking. Like huge guy, like 30 stone, like massive guy, a mullet.
Is this the guy who drank the? There's some famous story of a guy who drank whatever it was, 19 pints.
I think that's him. Because
that's him. Okay,
I just remember a bit of commentary where they were talking about how he's trying to get healthy because it was affecting his game now. He was so fat that it was affecting his darts, which is almost impossible.
Because it was really about the magnetic pull that he had towards the
The darts were coming back. And they said his training regime was he'd start by getting in and out of his chair a few times. That's where he was starting from. And they said he cut down on his drinking.
He's degraded so far. That's the exercise regime we'd all want. Like, okay, I'm gonna recommend some exercise for you. Oh, really? Yeah. I'm gonna need you to go from the couch to the chair at least four times a day. And you're gonna lift this remote, all right, with your right hand, and you're gonna lift this pint with your left hand. Sound good? All right.
But you'd like something like that over here.
Oh, I'd love that. I wouldn't say obsessed, but I was very happy when Bullseye came on, and I would watch Bullseye, and I'd go, and there's a thing about some British television where you truly can't tell, like, was this made 4 years ago or 24 years ago?
So your side dish, David?
Side dish, I'm staying in the same same family here of barbecue, and I'm going to go with collard greens, which I love, but that's another thing that is it can be very different, and sometimes there's like a sweeter collard, and I'm, again, of the vinegar, I put a little bit of hot sauce in there, and then it's just got to be a vinegar base with some of the meat, you know, in there. And then just, I love collard greens. Love them.
So because in the UK, it's just not a thing.
Yeah.
So like how would you describe it to people who don't know what it is?
It's really boiled. It's excessively boiled. It'd be, you know, a collard green. There's collards, you know, there's a, I think it probably came over from Africa, I'm assuming. And it's a very, like, if you don't boil it, it's a really rough, sinewy, tough leaf, big, green, kind of thicker, dark green leaf. But when you boil it, and you have to really boil it down, they get very soft. The stems, are pretty thick. And then it's kind of about the texture married to the flavor, and the flavor's usually, the way I like it, is a kind of a strong, kind of unctuous barbecue, either pork or beef. It's, no, not beef, pork. And, you know, the pork fat that, you know, melts as you go along and then kind of infuses everything. And again, I like a little hot sauce, vinegar. There's a little tiny, teeny bits of pork meat in there, little. And And it just gets really soft. And then the remaining, the liquid is called liquor. It's pot liquor. And it's so good, you can just drink it straight.
But just shot that right down.
Yeah, just shoot it. Yeah, and you play beer pong with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things that I eat embarrassingly fast. I have to slow myself down because you get a cup, a bowl of good collard greens. And I'll they're so good.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Remember being in... I went to Nashville and my friend who's a vegetarian said, I'm vegetarian. Whatever vegetarian stuff you have, please bring it. And they brought a bowl of collard greens with huge lumps of like ham in it.
Yeah,
it's like, this is a vegetarian. Like, yeah, it's vegetables. But there's big bits of ham in it. They baffled. They're baffled at the idea that someone wouldn't want big chunks of meat.
My mum's a vegetarian and had a similar thing recently at a food market and ordered the vegetarian ramen. And they sent it over, loads of meat in it. And she brought it back. She had to like go back to the counter, and before she'd even said anything, they went, "Oh yeah, because it's not vegetarian, right?" Because they kind of like knew.
Yeah, it's happened a million times.
Yeah, you caught us out again.
Yeah. Well done.
I'm surprised that still happens in this day and age. Because it's people have an idea. I mean, maybe 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But at this point,
you just worry about how they're going to cope when a vegan walks in.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's going to blow their mind.
Well, they shouldn't walk in. They should stay out.
Yeah, that's true.
Vegans stay out.
So your drink, your dream drink to go with your meal, which we ask at this point, but you can have it at any point in the meal. If you want to go back in time and have it at the start and just we keep topping up your glass.
Here's the thing. Normally, I would have a nice glass of red wine, something on the heavier side. I prefer like a Cabernet or a Zinfandel. Mm-hmm. But with barbecue, I'm not really going to have wine. Most of the meals I'll have a glass of red wine, but sometimes there are certain meals that wine just doesn't go with. And for barbecue, it would be beer and poutine as well. Now, I don't know if this is part of the thing, but in this scenario of the dream dinner, I've already had like 4 pints.
before you arrived at the restaurant.
Yeah. So
thanks for being honest with us.
Yeah. I'll tell you my favorite, and this isn't to sound patronizing at all, but my favorite, I have a lot of favorite beers, but my favorite cask ale is Tribute Cornish. And that's one of the perfect, it's just a perfect pint. But that doesn't really go with barbecue. Barbecue, you want a little less. I don't need all the hops and the flavor. Mm-hmm. I want more of a pilsner, kind of a lighter beer. So I'm just going to go with, and I'm also not, I don't have like a sophisticated palate when it comes to beer. And a lot of beer, I just like, you know, you go to these places that, you know, famous brewmaster and they brew their own, you know, and it's all small batch, whatever.
The place with loads of taps as well.
Yeah. And I appreciate the idea of it, but I look at the menus and they describe their beer like, you know, notes of leather and tan, you know, whatever. And I don't know what the fuck that means.
Yeah.
And I will be a reverse snob in a sense of like, just give me a Pabst, just give me a PBR.
Yeah.
So with the barbecue, I think outside of the setting and this meal, it would be my, you know, 7th choice. But for this meal, I'm just going to have an ice cold PBR.
Yeah, and you can knock them back.
Yeah,
you can have loads of them.
Yeah.
And they slip down very nicely.
And they're cold. And they're, you know, and they're really nice and cold. And
So cold, you almost can't taste them, right?
I wouldn't go that far.
But you don't want a warm one.
You don't want a warm one.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, it has
to be
super
no.
cold.
No. The warm ones remind me of like, because I grew up in Georgia, it's hot, you know, 6-7 months out of the year. Now with climate change, 9 months out of the year, hot. You know, we'd go tubing, you go down the river, and you bring your beer, and you kind of float it behind you in the river, or you put it in a cooler, or whatever. And then, but by the time you're just sitting in the sun, and 3/4 of the way through, that beer is. It's not cold. Yeah. It's not even room temp. It's literally 79 degrees.
It's soup.
And
hot kind of soup.
And but you've had so much to drink out in the sun, and you haven't really eaten, that it's fine. You can smell it. It's a little skunky, but you don't care. You're on your 7th beer, you know?
PBR is one of those things where, like, growing up in England and watching loads of American television, American films, and certain things just, like, penetrate your... And you just go in and, like, I want to have that because that is represents America to me in some way. And I remember having a PBR for the first time and being so excited.
it must have been disappointing, though. It's not a very...
Well, the thing is like, I don't think it was, because it wasn't like I was excited because this was going to be delicious. It was like, this is going to... I'm going to be drinking a PBR.
Having the can.
I've heard
was
about
it
this.
Was it hot out or cold out?
It was pretty normal. I was in a bar. I think it may have not even been in America. It was like a... that's what it was. It was in King's Cross in London. But then they sold it there, and I was like, oh, man, and I got really excited about it.
I remember the first time I had it. I had it at All-Star Lanes, which is like a fun bowling alley.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a can of PBR. I was like, I'm pretty American right now.
Yeah.
Bowling and PBR.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely loving it. Because you like a lot of, you know, we've already heard from the menu, you like a lot of English stuff, but you actually, you know, go out of your way to find the best stuff and know what it is and you like it, whereas we would just have we just have whatever Americans have already disregarded as, like, that's just, like, the standard. We don't give a shit about that.
Right.
And we would have that as, like, this is our dream meal.
But would you have... We'll let you have your 4 pints of tribute before you get to the dream restaurant and then move on to the PBR.
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna throw this in the mix. Let's say it's summer, and I could have any beer I wanted. And PBR is functional. It works. But the beer I have when I'm in London and it's hot out is, you know, the John Smith... Is it John Smith?
Yeah,
the cold ones, you know, the cold things.
Yeah, yeah.
That cold is really good. That's a really good beer to have that runs through its little ice cold thing. So that would work with the barbecue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'd lay on a full sort of fridge for you if you want.
You'd take
a pick.
Greatly appreciate
Lovely beer fridge.
Yeah.
4 pints of tribute before you get to the restaurant.
Yeah. But that's either like right in the little outdoor area garden or I'm inside.
Yeah.
And that's a leisurely, I'm not slamming them. It's not binge drinking. I'm just having, you know, good conversation, enjoying that pint. And then, you know, knowing my dream meal awaits me. Yes. And then when I finish up, I'm going to be put to death.
Yeah. Well, what we'll do is we'll take those 4 pints and we'll space them evenly between your home and the restaurant so that you kind of follow them. You're in cartoons where they're like, oh, and then they kind of eat it and then they look, oh,
like
and
we're
then
luring
they go.
Like we're luring you to.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I like that.
So you arrive at your dessert, which is always my favorite course, the dessert. Ed's the starter boy.
Yeah, I love starter.
I don't know how you feel about desserts.
I am not. I don't have a sweet tooth.
I thought not. We offered you that cake truffle earlier, and you were like, no. And I was like,
no.
I don't know how we just did that.
I don't like chocolate.
You don't like chocolate?
I do not like chocolate. I don't hate it, but I rarely have it, and it kind of ruins everything it touches. Like the idea of people putting chocolate on
David?
Nuts and fruit and all that kind of stuff is like, no, thank you. But
I get the sense that you want to move on from what you just said.
You've
got to remember that what you just said is pretty offensive to my people. I don't really know if I can just let it go.
It's something that my wife and I, when we met each other, kind of bonded over because she's not a big sweets, dessert, chocolate person either. Yeah, I've never really cared for it.
Like raisins and nuts and stuff are fine, but you think
I'm a sweet savory guy. So
I can work with that.
When that's good to know.
It's gonna be fine.
When it comes to dessert, almost every single time, either I don't have dessert or we'll get the cheese plate.
Yes,
the cheese. I'm a cheese guy.
The moment I met you, David, I knew you were one of my people. This is incredible.
Fuck you, David Cross. I quit.
So is that what you're selecting, David? Are you selecting the cheese plate for your dream meal?
No.
Yes.
I'm not going to select the cheese plate.
God bless America.
I'm going to say, you know what? I'm just going to use logic here.
Yeah.
I have enough room for dessert. I don't need a whole lot of dessert. And dessert's usually, you know, slice of pie or whatever. But I do have some room for dessert. And rather than the cheese plate, because then I'd have to switch to wine.
Yeah.
And I've had too much beer at this point.
Too much PBR.
We're at like 7 pints at this point.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to switch to wine, so forget the cheese. So I'm going to have some more poutine.
Yes.
This is great.
I thought it's okay. For a minute there, I felt like when at the Oscars when they said La La Land won. And I was like, no! It was like, yeah! But now it's like they went, La La Land won. Oh, no, sorry, we made a mistake. Yeah. La La Land won.
What was great about that is the look of glee on David's face when he said that.
So
A,
happy.
Because he knew it was going to upset James. Yeah. And B, because just the idea of just, more poutine, please.
Bookended it with poutine.
I think that's a wonderful choice.
Comes full circle.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to say, though, I prefer that to a cheese board.
You respect that choice.
I respect that choice a lot more than a cheese board because, I like the fact that you're just going, I'm going to just do the that again.
I've got a little space left.
Sure.
Why? I'm not going to fill it up with anything I don't. Again, if I hadn't had all that beer, I would have the cheese plate. I'd be happy with it. Uh-huh. But
there's no way you win this, James. It's either a cheese plate or more poutine.
Yeah. Either way, I'm not. You're asking me to.
I'm sorry. Hang on 1 second. Yes, what's that? Wait, you have one slice of pecan pie? All right, I guess I'll have a slice of pecan pie.
That'd be nice. We can put cheese curds and gravy on it if you like. No compromise. Oh, wow, what a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah, that was a real roller coaster.
I'm going to read your order back to you, see how you feel about it. You would like tap water from your own home?
Yep, sure.
You would like, sorry for butchering this word, powder cuisine?
The little cheese breads.
Yeah,
Little cheese breads rather than powder cajou.
Yeah, Brazilian pop-ups.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. Starter, poutine from the poutinerie. Main course, a barbecue plate. Side of collard greens. Your drink, you would like PBR, but you'll have 4 pints of John Smith's. Oh, no, PBR / John Smith's during the meal, but 4 pints
tribute
on the way to the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And dessert, this is a very confusing thing to look at. More poutine. / pecan pie.
Yeah. Okay.
Woo,
that sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, it really does.
That is awesome.
That is a beautiful menu.
Now I got, and then I'm wherever we're having this meal, there needs to be a cot somewhere where I can just sleep it off down.
Absolutely.
Immediately.
Yeah,
that's
you can
heavy,
do that.
Heavy meal.
We could open up one of those smokers at Franklin.
There you go.
Crawl in there. Yeah. Have a little sleep.
Smell good.
Then you get the bonus of scaring Franklin in the morning.
Yeah.
And maybe eating myself if I smoke to perfection.
Your entire dream comes true. You'll be eating yourself and Franklin will be scared.
Yeah.
And you've enjoyed your last meal, of course.
Yeah.
That's the end. Now the end of the meal and the end of your life, David.
Yeah. Rest in peace, David Cross.
Well, there we are. Angry boy, aren't you?
Oh, he
reeled you in.
I thought, oh no, he's choosing the cheese board. Oh no, it's okay, I'm safe. Oh no, he's chosen something even more ridiculous.
Now, that was a genuine moment of excitement and connection for me because, you know, I've admired David Cross's work for a long time.
Mm.
And to know that, you know, we're on the same page when it comes to desserts is quite an exciting moment for a young lad.
I still can't wrap my mind around it when people are like, my favourite dessert, they don't like any dessert.
Well, look.
Any dessert.
The only thing I didn't respect about him there is that he buckled and picked a slice of pecan pie to make you feel better.
Actually, yeah, I forgot he did that. That was really nice of him.
It was pathetic that you backed him into a corner with your whining.
Yes.
And he had to pick a piece of pecan pie just so he could get out of the building alive.
It's how I live my life.
You were blocking
Most
the door.
Most of my friendships function like that.
He looked scared.
Yep.
But the little look on his face when he said more poutine, it was like watching a 5-year-old.
He was very happy
when he said
more poutine.
He was very happy. And I was very happy that he didn't at any point say Monster Munch.
Yes, I mean, it was looking like that. I mean, some of the listeners might have thought at the start, he's not going to say Monster Munch. This is in New York. He's an American man. But then throughout, there was a lot of
English,
Anglo-centric
choices there. It could have been Monster Munch.
Yeah, it could have been Monster Munch, but it was not. Thank you so much, David Cross, for coming in. If you like David Cross, obviously there's the things like Arrested Development, Mr. Show. Also, go on Netflix and check out With Bob and David, which is the sketch show he did with Bob Odenkirk. It's excellent. He's got lots of amazing stand-up comedy albums. My personal favourite is called Shut Up, You Fucking Baby.
Yeah, and there's a stand-up special on Netflix called Making America Great Again.
Lovely stuff. So go and check out all of that. And if you enjoy us, absolutely go on to at Off Menu Official on Twitter and Instagram and on the website, which is offmenupodcast.co.uk. And also there's a tab on there which just says restaurants, which is a list of all the recommended restaurants, which will be updated for these American episodes. Go and check it out.
You can click on the names. It will take you to a link. You never need to tweet Benito and ask him.
Thank you very much for coming on the show, David. Thank you to you, James, for another wonderful experience. You are a great friend and a great man.
Thank you, Ed.
Anyway, bye.
Bye.
Hello there, listeners. Can we recommend you a new podcast?
It's been going for 3 years, but it'll be new if you listen to it now. My name's Stevie.
My name's Tessa.
And we host the Nobody Panic podcast, which is all about how to be a functioning adult without consistently screaming and or crying all the time. Although crying is okay. Crying is good.
Listen to our episode on how to cry at work. It's all kinds of different how-tos, from how to be creative to how to concentrate to
how to be good at small talk.
Thank you, Stevie. We bring our experience, which is sort of minor, and then we get experts in to really
give the advice. We release a podcast every Tuesday. It's on Apple Podcasts, Acast, Spotify, basically wherever you get your podcasts.
We're there.
We're there. We're ready to impart not our advice necessarily, but the advice of others to help you get through your day and your life.
Are we selling it yet? I'd like to say that we're much better in the podcast than we are on this advert. Please do come over and check what we're like on the real thing.
Oh yeah, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh wait, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.